I'm just speaking. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It's good to be in church this morning. Verse 5, the Bible says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it in thee also." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege of coming back to your house. Thank you for each one that's come out today. Father, we pray for those that couldn't. Lord, those that's battling sickness, would you please touch them and heal them. Those that are working, Lord, be with them. Those that are traveling, give them safety and traveling grace. We pray, Father, for those that saw no need to come. Lord, let it be something that's missing in their heart, Father. I thank you for the ability to gather today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for everything you do. Lord, thank you most of all for Jesus, Lord, that marched that cross up Calvary's Hill, Father, that He'd pay my sin debt. I thank you so much for that, Lord. We be with each one here today. If there's one here that's lost, we pray that you'd save them before it be too late. Thank you, Father, for the reading of your word and what it means to us. Lord, we pray now that you anoint us and touch us and help us. Lord, let every word be said. Bring honor and glory to you and let it magnify the sweet name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that we'll bow our unworthy heads and thank you for everything you do for us. In the precious name of Jesus, I do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Now, before I get into my verse, this prayer request has come deep into my heart this morning as I was thinking, as we know that different things affect all of us. Nobody's immune to problems in their family. Nobody's immune. Everybody has problems. Nobody's immune to trouble, trials, tribulations, things like that. We all have them. David James said he didn't say he can have them. He said we can have them. You don't have them. Right, and I got to thinking about everything that's going on in this. How a lot of times, we're so worried about everything that's going on, the viruses and the illnesses, I don't even want to call its name. We've heard its name so much, have we not? Is it not just getting tiring and boring of the name we've heard? Let's just call it a virus, that way it can be whatever it is. But I got to thinking this morning, I have a nephew that I want you to pray for. He's chose along the wrong path and he's made a lot of bad decisions. He's still my nephew and I still love him. He got into some bad drugs and things like that, and he died, and we brought him back to life at the hospital. We had to revive him. And he's into all these drugs we took. You see what it is? Everybody is looking for answers in life. Everybody looks for answers. Everybody wants hope. Everybody wants help. Everybody wants something that helps ease the pain in life. Right? Some people just choose the wrong avenues. Not only do I have a nephew who's done that, he's went the way he's overdosed. But I've also got a good friend of mine. Their daughter, well, it's really their niece that they have been raising as their own, same thing. Looking for everything. Things like she has no hope. Things like she has no friends. Everywhere she's going, she feels like she has nothing. And this is the thing that just really gets to me, and I'm telling you, church, this is why we need to lift each other up, because it's so important. Because I'm telling you, the young lady's saved, she's been baptized, and she has went through a trial in her life of some things that happened to her in her life. And it's like she forgot everything about God. But she knows she needs help. And she's looking for everything to ease the pain. And she found something last week, right? The ease of pain was temporary. She overdosed. Nearly died. They got her in the hospital in time so they could pump her stomach out. These kids is on these things. It ain't just kids. Hey, drugs affects everybody of all ages. A lot of times we're so guilty of saying, well, these kids are doing this, these kids are doing this. What kind of example are we giving to these kids? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit there and say you can live the holiest life possible if your kids have never messed up. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that. Because at an age, kids have to make their own accountable for the things that they do at a certain time. But they have went to this way of, you hear the fentanyl of heroin, and they're overdosing, they're looking for things. They don't realize, I didn't realize, that you can only go so far. And sometimes it's it.
Right.
You only have one life. It's almost like a story a preacher man told me one time, and I'm fixing to get the message, I promise you. But he said it's like you have a dollar bill. And if I give you that dollar, you can spend it any way you want or wherever you want. We know that ain't going to go far. But just think about the analogy here. Right? But once you use that dollar up, it's gone.
That's right.
It's like your life. James said it's like a vapor. Nobody likes to think that today could be our last day here on earth. But let me tell you something. Today could be your last day. Today could be my last day here on earth. I want to go out posting about Jesus is what I want to have. I want to tell them Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. I want to tell them Jesus is our hope. And Christian friends, now today more than ever, church, we need to be winning these people to Jesus. They're looking for everything. What do we do about it? So if we've got these prayer requests, right, I've got these prayer requests, things that I worry about, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that my faith's at the top of the mountain every day. Every time I pray, I always go trusting and believing God. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that. I do believe God, I do trust God, but I keep telling you every time I pray, I have fully trusted God. There's a thing I'm looking for. There's been times where I've fell on my knees, that I've cried out to God, and I've told God to help me with this, and you know what I did? I picked that same very thing up and took it back with me in another room. Never listened to this thing. What does it tell me? I never trusted him. I know he's the way to give it to me in my prayers, but I didn't trust him. You know, it's almost like, I know God, you can do this, but can you do it for me? Anybody ever been there and heard this from me? I'm just sharing my heart. I'm my flaws. I've got them. Line up. I think we'll be here all day. We'll hear about the preacher's flaws. You know, there's a bunch of them. Yeah. That's where we do. God, I'm not proud of them. But I want to go back to this verse that we read. This verse that Paul talked about, this faith, to that unplanned faith. You know what he's talking about there? Real, sincere, genuine faith. That faith that Timothy is taught. You know, and faith is something that a lot of people say, well, faith ain't something you teach somebody. Yeah, it is. You sure might understand what faith is. He said that was taught by your grandmother, by your mama. They didn't pass this faith down to third generation. And he said, you gotta have faith. And Paul said, there's a faith, there's a genuine, sincere faith that's in you. And I'm gonna tell you something, that's how we'll know that prayers will be answered when we have that faith. He said, the faith that's been taught you. Paul said, I appreciate that faith that's in you. And I'll tell you something, church, today, we need that kind of faith in our lives. And I want to give you a few things about that faith. We must live by that faith that I'm talking about today. And in this faith that we're going to live by, there needs to be, if we're going to live by it, there needs to be a recognition of God in our lives. Recognition of God in our lives. How many people do we pass by every day that don't even know that we're a child of God? That we're a Christian? That we go to church?
I'm not sitting here telling you, you got to get on every corner and shout off the rooftop, hey, come to Forest Hill, hey, I'm saved, we want you to I'm not saying you can do all that. But when God opens the door, we sure need to go through that door.
Amen.
You never know how God's going to use you for somebody that's struggling with their faith. How God has used people to help me when I struggle with my faith. Hey, don't ever get the inclination that God calls you to preach so your faith's always full. It ain't. We've got a hard time in our life. Times of struggle. Times that we wonder sometimes, God, what am I doing wrong? I go to the church. I read my Bible. I'm showing up to church every time the door's open. Why is these troubles still coming into my life?
The Bible says, yeah, y'all made it to God, so I suffered persecution. You ain't been to God, you ain't persecution.
So it could be not that I'm doing something wrong. It might just be that I'm doing something right.
Amen.
But where's the faith about? You know, the Bible talks about faith. James, when he has the faith without wavering. Right? The profession has the faith without wavering. That's in Hebrews.
Jesus said, John the Baptist, there was no like John the Baptist. He said, what did you expect to see with John the Baptist? A reed shaking in the wind, somebody going through his road, the doctor, somebody's here and there, they're going to the mall, that wasn't John the Baptist. And we just said, yeah, John the Baptist was in. The Bible teaches us that all that was put on the cross. Jesus didn't love John the Baptist more than he loves you, brother Aaron. He loves his son. Our faith. There needs to be a recognition of faith in our life. The way that we talk, the way that we dress, the way that we act, people are to see we love God. Right? It goes a long way, don't it? Recognition of God ain't just who all shows up on Sunday and who comes back on Wednesday. That's what we're talking about, recognition. Because you see, we're out in this world more than we're in this field.
Right.
And the church is up three, four walls. You're not coming. Don't sit there and pray to God four walls. Then you say, give me four walls.
Amen.
He's everywhere. He's omnipresent.
He'd be everywhere. He'd be down there on Mount Hermon. I can call him. He's nowhere.
He could be out there in the right of the target. I'm sure he's got his ears closed to have the stuff that goes on out there. But he's there.
Amen.
A recognition of God in my life. I want a recognition of God in my life. I'm not talking about recognition. Hey, he's this or hey, he's that. I just want people to know that I'm saved and I'm a preacher and I love the Lord and I'm a son. I want them to know, to recognize. They don't recognize that I'm a preacher. That's all right. I don't know where to tell everybody I'm a preacher. Because you know what I've learned sometimes? When people realize that they're talking to a preacher, whatever, they will be the true self. You need to be the true self no matter what. I want the Lord to have respect for people and do things like that. Be respectful, man. But I want you to be yourself around me. God might call me a priest, but you know what? I'm still just a human being. I'm just a man. And I probably messed up way more than any of you did. And I might have the least amount of faith out of anybody in this building this morning. I might struggle more with my faith than anybody. I don't know. I just talk about me. I didn't talk about you. But I want a recognition of in my life that people, when they see, and you know one thing they see? When they see me get up when they start talking about other things, they know I get to listen to it. I'll get up and walk off. Right? Sometimes when I'm at work and I'm in the praise, I'm reading the Bible. I know sometimes, a lot of times, they'll be respectful about it. They won't try to be loud. They won't try to run. Now, you got a few that's going to get you, right? You're going to sit there and talk loud and then start talking to others and see what you're going to say, what you're going to do. It's not my job to pray to everybody. Right? But I do ask them sometimes, hey, can you sit down? Dude, I'm over here studying, you know? But I also know sometimes I study here, sometimes I study there, but they recognize something different in life.
Amen.
If you say that you're saved, that you're Christian, that you're a child of God, but yet you live just like the world, what do they recognize? You know what you're showing them? That you don't have to change. That they don't have to do nothing different about you. That you can't do everything you used to do before you get saved. That's not the case. And let me tell you something. If you don't change things about you, you sure ain't going to have no faith.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's what Paul said in Romans. You got to hear. Hear me. He didn't say you hear it one time. You don't come to church one time and say, well, my life's right there. Faith comes by hearing. You got to be attentive to it. You got to focus in on it. Write it down when you come to church. If you don't have one, get with me and I'll make sure we get you one on the way out the door. I want you to have a Bible. And don't just open it on Sunday, open it in the week. Once you notice that you start opening it in the week, then God will start talking to you.
Amen.
And then that recognition then will lead you, right? When you stay in something, it kind of attaches itself to you. Not to be a recognition. Not only recognition about that when we live by faith, but there needs to be a reverence of God in our life. That's your testimony. That's the praise when we lift our hands, when we clap our hands. You know what that is? That reverence right there. Maybe it's just coming down here to the altar. Right? There's a reverence when we come down here to pray about things.
Amen.
But there's a reverence when we come down here and we thank God.
Amen.
A reverence for God. I promise you this morning, if you will lift your hands up praising, I will thank your hands and your shoulders with my thoughts. And pray then, I'll be the first to take you to the hospital. I won't get that thing back in there and pray over for you. There needs to be a reverence. I like it when we stand, when we stand. Just a little easier to sing when we get it out, is it not? I mean, I feel like I can't stand the garden. But you know what? I feel like I can give it a little bit more when I stand rather than when I sit. A reverence for God. Not only that, but we don't live by faith, there needs to be a responsibility to God. Responsibility to God, right? What's the things that He does? Our service is what they're talking about, our responsibility. Who's going to hear the gospel if we don't take it to Him? Who's going to pray for your family if you don't pray? I want you to pray for my kids. I want you to pray for my wife. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for our church. But I think there's a responsibility to me to pray for my wife, for my kids, for myself, and for my church. And not everybody can tell the bad news that you're being selfish because you pray for yourself. I believe you are praying for yourself.
Amen.
Well, I don't think nobody else praying for yourself. I'm praying for you. We need more than just being you praying for us, that's all.
No.
I want everybody praying for me. No. I even pray that prayer. God, put me and my family, put my church in people's hearts. I just pray for that. I want me But if I was waking up and praying, I'm telling you, my whole start of my day is just so messed up. I can't remember that. And I struggle with that anyway. My wife tells me because I'm overthinking. I'm putting too much faith about too many things. Really? Slow down.
Amen.
Slow down. I'm trying to put too much together. And you know what I've been guilty of? I'm thinking it's my responsibility to do all this for God. I just need to do what God wants me to do. I say, okay, well, if I do this, if I do that, if I can just do a little bit more for God, if I can just go over here, if I can just do that. How about I just stop and say, God, what would you have me to do today? You know what? I could be trying to do so much that I didn't get nothing accomplished because I didn't spend the time that God wanted me to do with one, but I'm trying to live in Him. And God wants me to do that one. I'll never forget this story the preacher told me. His name was Dean, and he told us a story one time at Preacher's Fellowship. He said, he was in Florida, Lawley, Florida, preaching. Right? He was a pastor down there. He said, I went to houses all around the community. He said, could not get nobody, none of them to come to church. He said, I tell you, our church is just right over here. He said, they wouldn't even look at it. People wouldn't even pay attention to them at the door. He said, oh, I've never heard of it. Oh, he said, it's just right over here. Look at them trees. He said, oh, I've never seen it. And they shut the door. He went everywhere, trying to build the church. And he said, he sat down on his porch one day and he said, I was silent, defeated. And God said, you know what? He said, quit trying to be great and just do something great. And he said, that's when a young boy named Billy come riding by the side of his life. He said, the Lord taught him on his porch. He said, I've got preachers all over the world where I live. He said, if your job is to live in the community, he said, if you don't go get Billy, he's going to die. He's going to go to heaven. So the preacher just starts spending time with Billy. Billy ends up getting saved. Our purpose, our responsibility in life. We think we've got to do all this. When you know what? God and I have one certain job for us to put all of our time into instead of us trying to put a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. This is about God. Jesus said, I'm about the Father's
business. Amen.
And I'm afraid sometimes I've even been guilty of, I'm trying to make God's business my business where I want to do everything and I want to dictate how everything goes. And that's not what God wants. My service, my responsibility to Him is just to be what He wants me to be, when He wants me to be, where He wants me to be. Service, a responsibility to God. The faith, we must live by faith. Give you another one. We must walk by faith. Walk by faith. That's our pursuit of life. Our goals. What's our goals? Right, a lot of times we're here today, and our service is over, we're ready to load it up front. And we start looking at it, well, we finish up high school. I wonder what his goals are. I wonder what he's got ready in life. I wonder what he wants to be. Right? We look at that all the time, our goals. What about us as adults? What's our pursuit? What's our goals? My goal is to close the walk with God every day. And you know what? My goal is to be closer today than I was yesterday. You know, one of my biggest regrets in all of my life is my wasted days where I didn't serve God. Wasted days. Wasted days. Laziness. God don't like laziness. You better read the book of Proverbs. You don't like laziness. And I'm afraid that what's wrong is today's time. We don't have to come laziness. You don't have to say amen. I know it's good preaching. Amen. I know. The Bible talks about it. You know what? I was talking to a preacher friend. He said, my biggest concern here, right, with everything that's went on when we're getting back into churches, he said, people have to come. The Bible teaches us to be content. God does teach us to be content. But I think the problem is we become so content with watching church at home that we see no need to do that. Church is not watching it at home. Heard that this morning. Church is not watching it at home. That's not church. Church is doing that.
Amen.
That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to do that. Now, I know there's many different things. Hey, you read down a few more verses out of that 2 Timothy verse 1 where it talks about God and not the Holy Spirit here. Power, love, and sound mind. It goes back to me. If he's going to get a sound mind, he's got a job. He's got some work in progress. Amen. But he didn't give me the spirit of fear.
And that preacher said, you know what? I've talked to people. And we can never come so contented and stay at home. Then we're not being able to log in. We're not being able to stay in our job. We're not being able to walk in for many different preachers. God wants us together so we can be a part of the service, to get into the city, to get into the preaching, to go to the altar if we need to. God wants us to come together where we feel.
Amen.
Our pursuits, our goals. I enjoy watching preaching on TV as much as possible. I love to download my preacher's live stream. I love to watch that. I get into that. But that ain't the same as being there.
Amen.
It's not. Don't let the devil tell you that it's the same thing. It's not. I didn't have the same stream to yell at y'all in person than on TV.
Amen.
But that's not bad.
Amen.
I'm trying not to spit on any other, but I do not get it, man.
Thank you, love. Hey, my mom used to be in trouble the other night.
I didn't have the same last one.
I wasn't happy. That's what your mama did, too. Remember how woman we got? They tried to straight. How did they break us? They beat the tar out of us, and they thought about we loved them. You know?
That is love, though. Who the Father loves, he corrects us, what the Bible says. And I believe that. He corrects us because he loves us. I'm not here today to say I'm trying to correct every one of us, but I am here to tell you we all mess up.
Amen.
And we need that correction. And we got a Father that will correct us.
Right.
Our pursuit of life, our goals, we need to know that. Our purpose of living. What's the purpose of living? That's to honor God. What we do.
Amen.
To honor God and bring honor to Him. If you want honor to come to you, it'll come. If you want to be thanked, you want to be congratulated, you want to be patted on the back, you'll get that. The Bible says those who seek the rewards here on earth, you'll get your rewards. You'll get your good job. But it ought to be to honor God and what we do and the way we live. I'll be saying it's responsibility. This whole message is coming together. You're not saying here to call, but I promise it's coming back together. It's all about faith. All about faith. He says our pursuit of life, our purpose of living. What about our pleasure in living? Right? A lot of people say, well, I want to do what I want to do. My pleasure is in living is his pleasure.
Amen.
And you know what stops people in these pleasure things? Because they want to do what they want to do. And whether people like to admit this or not, people try to play God in their own life. When you say this is what I'm going to do, don't care what anybody else thinks about it, this is the thing that I'm praying, I pray God, you're trying to be God.
Right.
You're trying to be God in your life. People want to admit that as truth. You're trying to say what goes, not God. How does that honor you? Pleasures. What keeps people from these pleasures? What keeps people from this serving God? You know what it is? What I found in a lot of it is? Number one, it's family. It's family that keeps people from serving God. Well, I don't want to make them mad. I don't want to do this. Well, if I go, I don't want to leave them. The Bible says you better be ready to forsake everybody to follow Him. And that's the problem. We put everything else up top, and we forgot that God is either first or not. He said he's to be first. Families have kept us in our service to God. If you don't believe me, I'll tell you a story. There's been people in my own family that, you know what? I just didn't witness to like I should have. I didn't tell them about the Lord like I should have. I didn't invite them like I should have. And that's the fact that you're meeting me. And you know why? Because what kept me from servicing was faith. You know what else the problem is? Finance. They love the money so much they don't want to give it to God or don't want to use it for God. When it's all God. All praise you just getting on retirement. Nope, you're going to get God with this.
Amen.
And a lot of people in the finances, you know what they do? They're so driven by money. They're driven by more money. Because you know what we come into of the mindset of? The more money we got, the less problems we have. We're going to pay for everything we need, right? That's true. It is. We're going to take care of everybody, right? Well, I mean, it's easy. The more money I make, the more I can provide for my family. That's just the way it is. That's the way that the modern faith, that's the way the faith is. That's how the devil treats you. But if you're not careful, you will fall. Not even the whole world will fall. That's what he says. The love of money is the real problem.
Right.
What does that mean? There's more evil that comes to that money. Ever since the day being a
Joe got together, we started learning about what tithing was. I'm a living example. Hey, when you look up here this morning, I'm a living example. You know what? I'm going to say we didn't have bad times. We have never went out. Never went out. God's always provided. And God provided big sometimes that can come. I mean, He provided that when we just say nothing else and something just come running through, maybe through the mail, maybe through the family, maybe God knew somebody else. When we learn to give God what He is, we never once went without. That's what the Bible talks about. Try God out. He said, in heaven there's windows.
He didn't say a window, but He said windows. There's more than one. He'll give you so much, He'll love you right.
You know what? I'm going to give you so much. I don't even have to thank you very much.
Right.
And when you learn to start thanking God for things, it's like you start getting more. Man, blessings, pleasures in life. Let me give you last one. We must stay in Him. There needs to be a fear of God in our life. And that's not living scared. We wouldn't have that. That's our mind. Right? He gives fear of fear. But it's living in us. Like that reference in awe. Living in awe of God. When we stand in awe of Him, we want to serve Him. We want to praise Him. We want to lift up our hands. We want to just give Jesus all the glory for everything. A fear of God. But I'm going to be telling you something too. If we're going to stand in faith, we better be ready to fight for God. We better be ready to focus on God. Focus on God. Fight for God. You know, we're living in a day where we're just able to gather, right? Where all the churches is able to gather back. And you can say, well, yeah, there's nothing to do down the parking lot preaching and this, let you do all this, they're telling you to do online services. It's not the same as being gathered in here. Parking lot services are great. Appreciate everyone coming. Appreciate you praying. Appreciate your attendance tonight. That's not the same as when we get together.
Amen.
And for the longest, we were told, I don't know how many of you like it. We were told basically church is non-essential. That's what Jesus said. Right? The essential thing, what was essential? Hospitals. I'd say they're pretty essential.
Yeah.
Doctors. I'd say they're pretty essential. Pharmacies. They're not church. What were they saying? If you think about what that word means, non-essential, it means unnecessary. Needless. Extended. Right? Not needed. Doesn't really matter.
No.
Let me tell you something. We are essential today.
Amen.
Jesus is essential today.
Amen.
How do you know Jesus is essential? Because through His blood, there's life.
Amen.
And in this book, there's blessings.
Right.
And that blessed hope are you related. Heaven. We're essential today. Let me read some more, just a few verses. I'm telling you, I'm doing it. Philippians chapter 1, I'll just flip over here. Philippians 1. This is our focus on God, our fight for God. Paul here in Philippians chapter 1, he takes an old trial with this prison. Let me tell you something. Paul was so focused on God, he had to go while he was in prison. I'm not going to tell you that they brought me up, and they might want to make a preach to Jesus. The preach against me. They might lock me up. That'd be all right. God would be in there too.
Amen.
What about you? You ready to stand for your faith? You ready to fight yours? What comes down to that? What if they tell you, well, this is the way we're pressing them? Hey, I thank God that He put a present in there and He's been worshiping His teacher. Church is His teacher. You ain't heard no other of this thing. Well, He's just standing to the preacher. I don't know what He's standing for, but God gives Him that man to stand up. What time?
Amen.
Whether you like Him or you don't like Him, God's using Him.
Amen.
Whether He's saved or He's unsaved, God's using Him.
Amen.
God's using Him. I'm glad we got one that's willing to take that stand.
Yeah.
Well, He's just trying to cater to His people. I'm telling you what, I hope everybody votes for Him. I'm not trying to tell you who to vote. I'm voting for Him. I don't care to say it. God's using that man. To help us! He come out and talked about it in Easter. Somebody said that about how important worship is. People need to hear the Holy God.
Yeah.
I wish we had elders and mayors talk about that.
Amen.
It is not Republicans and Democrats. You know what it is? To me, you either got your heart right with God or you don't.
Right.
It's just that simple. And sometimes many people that we have elected in office, and I'm not just saying just us, but around the United States, we've elected people in office that don't know God and don't care about God.
That's right.
We believe the lies. I can use this to say we also believe the lie. I believe the lie. I thought it was true that Donald Trump could make America great again. He can't, only God can.
Amen.
God uses him to make America great again. But he can't do it with God. Can.
Right.
Our faith should not be a president, a mayor, a governor. Don't even let your faith be in your preacher. I want you to come talk to me. You talk to me and we'll pray about things. But don't let your faith be in me. Let it be in God.
Amen.
That's what your faith needs to be. That's Paul talking about. Chapter 1. The joy that he had in prison. Burning up in here. Is anybody talking to this man? Probably nervous. Alright, verse 19. Let's pick up in there. Paul said, for I know that this shall turn my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul said he's going to turn this trial into victory, is what he's going to do. How is he going to do that, preacher? Because Paul was confident, right, whether he got released or whether they ended up killing him. He would advance the gospel of Christ. He was going to advance the cause of Christ. Paul said that. He said, according to my earnest expectation, verse 20, and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that in all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Look what he said to me. How many of us can say this about Christ being magnified? Whether it be by life or by death. He said, I just want to honor Christ whatever it is.
Amen.
For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, will not. He said, I perceive not. That's what that means. And then let me handle this right quick. I want you to say, they take this wrong about the flesh, right? He said, if I live in the flesh, that's not talking about people who die, but we hear all the time, right, about the spirit of the flesh and things like that. That's not what they're talking about, the fruits of the flesh. He's talking about if I'm here in this present body, this physical body, I'm in this being right here. All right, then he says right here, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Content. That's what Paul was. He said, but I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart. A desire to depart, look that word up, and you know what it means? It means to lose from all confinement.
Amen.
From all confinement, the bonds, the chains, everything that people put me through, everything the devil put me through, those confinements, he said, all the pain I felt is the glory of God. All the limitations that I had in Christ, he said, I had a desire to depart. To be with Christ, to be in His presence, be with Him forever. He said, I have that desire. But look what he said. Paul went from what Paul wanted to do to verse 24, he went to what he needed to do. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I ain't good to have a preacher care that much about it.
Amen.
He said, you know what? Would it be nice if God just carried me on out of here? You might have had troubles like that, and you just start thinking, well, when's this thing going to end? When's God going to carry me on out? He said, I want to go home. My daddy go home. But he said, it's more needful for me to be here with you. Right, and then it's all right. He said, either way, I'm better. God's going to be with me. He said, it's more needful for me to stay. It's more work for me to be here on earth. And there was more work for God following the phone. Then he said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance of joy of faith. He said, the progress spiritually. There needs to be more progress. There's more we can do. We can do it. You know what he's talking about right there? The church. When he talks about we and things like that. You know that as a church, collectively, if we all go out, we all make a commitment to Christ, right? We all say, this week, I'm going to invite somebody to church. This week, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. We will reach more if all of us do it than if I just decide to do it.
Right.
Or just you decide to do it. Right? We reach more through that. That's what the progress is, right? We need to help build the kingdom of God. It's our responsibility. It's what God called us to do. God did not call nobody just to be saved and party over the pew and not every nothing. I've never found that in the Bible. If you find it, please bring it to me. There's going to be a King James in the middle of it. Anything else, go out. We're getting to me now. It's important that we properly speak. That we show people what God has done for us in our life. This faith. Paul told in this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, that unmanned faith, that genuine, that real, that sincere faith that we need in the blessings of purification of faith. The essential part. He told us that Jesus is essential. He said the church is essential. Ain't it good that we can gather and love God? And ain't it good if we can go out and try to go in and find unbelievers? You say, preacher, why would we go into unbelievers? You'd be surprised with all the saved folks that stay home. Or they walk away. Let me read this verse right here. Just come to me. Hebrews chapter 10. So turn there, you turn to 9:9. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Lord, understand this. Hebrews 10, 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He may draw back. There's a lot of faith. There's a lot of believers that draw back. What does that mean? It means to revolt to Christ. It means to quit, hang it up, take your Bible, go home. Just say, I'm done. How many times have we drawn back? How many times have we backslid? Right? I know I ain't the only one in here that they're backslid on God.
Amen.
How many times have we done it? He said, those that draw back. We don't need to draw back. We don't even need to go back. We need to keep marching on for the glory of God. We're in this church. From the day we're saved, it's the starting line, not the finish line. There. It ain't over with when you get saved. You don't say, well, life's over. Life's up again until you get saved.
Amen.
Life don't begin when you get your license. Life don't begin when you have children. Life don't begin when you get married. Life don't begin when you get the greatest job. Life don't begin when you get a free ride to education at school. That's not it. It's God.
Amen.
Our faith. What about our faith today? How many of us today can stand and say, you know what, my faith is genuine today? I can tell you this, my faith is genuine. I've met stuff a lot. You know who has it? He has
it. Amen.
He has it. My faith is in Him today. My faith is not in everything else in this world, but it's in God today. What about your faith today? Let's stand. It's Jesse Wilkins, sing.
Is there something you need to pray about this morning? Maybe you're here today and you struggle with your faith. Please, don't let the devil keep you in your seat. If you struggle with your faith, you like all of us. Maybe you went through some times and you just don't know how to, you don't know where to go. Can I tell you, you just take it to the Lord. You just take it to the Lord this morning. Is there anything you need to pray about this morning? Is there anything you'd just like to come? Maybe it ain't you this morning, but you know somebody that's going through a valley in life. And the Lord put them on your heart. Would you pray for them? Would you? What is it this morning that you need? What do you need? Maybe you just want to come pray with somebody. Maybe you know somebody that's just going through a trial of storm. Maybe you don't know your faith struggle. Do you know anybody that needs prayer today? Is there anybody you know that's lost today? What is it that you need today?